Well, good morning. As we get started this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. This is where we'll be as we start. We have been on a journey walking through spiritual gifts that are listed here in this particular passage of Scripture. And if you found yourself on the list thus far, great. I will continue to pray that God will reveal himself to you in an amazing way as to what it is and how it is you are to use your gift. If you haven't found yourself yet on a list and you say, well, I don't even know that I've found my gift yet. Nothing that we've talked about so far has really done it for me. That's okay. As believers, we are all gifted with at least one gift. And so stay with me as we continue through the list of spiritual gifts, and I hope that God will reveal in his own way to you what it is that your gift is and how it is you're to use it. So what we'll be looking at today as we read from Romans 12 is the gift of exhortation. But let's read. If you want to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word. We'll read from Romans chapter 12, and we'll read it 1 through 8, just like we've been doing. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these gifts. Father, as we continue to approach them individually, Father, would you grant us discernment and wisdom from your Holy Spirit as we read your divine text? Father, I pray for each person in this room, Father, that they might understand truly how you have gifted them so that we might make a difference for the kingdom. Thank you so much for this time, and we give it to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this is a word, your translation might even say encouragement. If that is what your translation says, that's okay. This is a word that doesn't really give us the, as good Baptist, it doesn't really give us the willies or the heebie-jeebies. Is that a word? Okay, it is in Texas at least. Good, all right. We don't treat this one like we would speaking in tongues or prophecy, where we go, I don't know about that. I really don't understand that one, so I'm just going to pass over it. Because sometimes we can look at a different translation, it says encouragement. But we can no more call the gift of exhortation encouragement than we can just say God, and for me to be able to think that everybody in the room understands fully what that means, even myself. I don't fully grasp what that word means. So we cannot just say encouragement and keep moving. So let's take a good look this morning at this gift that we call exhortation. Because there's so much more to it than that. Let's start with the root of the word. If you look at the root of the word in the original language, it is the word parakletos, basically, is where we get the word paraclete, which is where we find advocate or helper, and where we get the term Holy Spirit. That's all wrapped into that word. Okay? And so, what do we do with that? Now that you've had your lesson in Greek, which you didn't ask for, what do we do with that? Well, the definition of the word is to call near or to invite. That is how the word here in Romans, exhortation, is defined. To call near or to invite. So what does that have to do with encouragement? Because it doesn't really sound like what we would call encouragement, to call near or to invite. So let me talk to you about some encouraging words. There was an older man who was in a rural town, and he went to a bigger city for a movie for the first time in many years. He went to the concession stand and ordered some popcorn and handed the attendant his $4. He couldn't help but say, the last time I was at a movie, popcorn cost 15 cents. And the attendant, without missing a beat, said, well, sir, you're going to be in for a real treat. We have sound now. That was meant to be encouraging, but it lacked perspective. And so here's another one. There were two old men that had been best friends for years. They both lived into their 90s. One of the men suddenly falls ill, and on his deathbed, the other man says to the dying man, when you get to heaven, I want to know if there's baseball. And then the man says, you've been friends with me for a long time. This I will do. And he says, okay, and then he dies. A few days later, the man that was still living was sleeping. He heard a voice in his sleep, and it was his friend that had passed away. And his friend says, I have some encouraging news, and I have some bad news. And he said, well, what's the encouraging news? He says, the encouraging news is there is baseball in heaven. He said, well, what's the bad news? He said, you're starting on Wednesday. Encouragement is really... is it just about putting a smile on someone's face? Is it about patting someone on the back? I think it's critical that we take a good look at what this means because there's so much more to it than that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, and we're going to see this word show up again as we have in Romans 12. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll go. And in the book of 2 Timothy, if you read through the beginning of the book, in the previous chapter, chapter 3, Paul is telling Timothy essentially this truth. He says, stand firm on the teachings which you have been taught. Okay? And he's learned those teachings from Paul. And then we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's the word that we found in Romans chapter 12. It's the exact word in the Greek that we found in Romans chapter 12. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Paul says to Timothy first in verse 1, he says, I charge you. To do what? I charge you. Have you ever had a friend come and challenge you to do something? I'm not just talking about something silly. Hey, jump through that fire. It doesn't really go so well. Students don't do that. Challenge you. Challenge you with something scriptural. Say, I challenge you to preach the word. What a challenge. He says, I solemnly charge and challenge you to do this, Timothy. In light of what's going on in the climate of the day, there were some dangerous people. If you read the book of 2 Timothy, there were some really dangerous people, some false doctrines being taught. Paul was coming to the end of his ministry life here as an older man, and he says, I charge you, Timothy, preach the gospel. But what else comes with that? Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, and preach it with this. And it comes with these things. Rebuke, reprove, exhort. Reprove, rebuke, resort. I got one out of order. What does that even mean? So you get a challenge and a charge from Paul to Timothy to preach the word. And it comes with three asterisks. What are they? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Good. Let's look at this a different way. When I was in high school, the thing that we did best on the basketball floor was run a press. It was a 2-2-1 press. That means probably nothing to most of you. Okay? So to run a press, I'm going to need some help. All right? Come on, students. I need at least 10 of you. Okay? Let's go. All right. Look, this is either going to go really well or it's going to go really badly. All right, I need a person to stand here. Okay. Good. I need a person to stand here. Okay, good. Come, two more. Good. I need you to stand here. I need you to stand here. And Tori, I need you to come here. And I need you to stand right here in the back. Okay, good. Y'all are going to be on offense. Good for y'all. Okay? So look, Kesley, you can stand right here where Eli is. I'm glad you did. She won her basketball game. She's ready. Okay. Kesley is going to be on offense. Look, Kyler and Cortland, I need both of you guys to be here in the front. Y'all are critical to this. Okay? All right? And I've got... Y'all have one extra one, don't you? No? All right. I need you two to go back there where they are. And then that leaves Eli, right? No, you're on. Go to the back, Eli, because she's the next one here. All right, good. So who's on offense? Raise your hand. They are on offense, okay? Good. All right, so how does this work? Kesley, hold the ball. Don't throw it till I tell you. All right? In a press, okay, if you were to inbound the ball to Genesis, okay, can you catch that? Let's do it. Inbound the ball to Genesis. Whew. Hey, I'm sweating bullets up here, all right? What happens to the defense? Okay, we're really in a squished space here. All right, so what your job is to do is to get her up the sideline, okay, and you trap when you go over half court, all right? So if you were to dribble, just go this way. Just walk. Don't dribble. Just walk. I know it's traveling. And we get over half court. Everybody's pushing back. Everybody's pushing back. Stop, Genesis. What do? You're in the middle, and whenever he traps, you what? You go with him, okay? Is this making sense to anyone?
We don't do this one.
All right, good. Let me do this. Have the offense go sit down. Thank you for your help, offense. Just like a boy. He can't help it. Good job, offense. Come back, defense. Here we go. All right. Oh, look, they're walking together. That's perfect. All right, so go back to your set. Stay here. All right, so I'm going to move this way, and you come and you trap. You come to the middle here, you cover that pass, and you got the end. So this is, it's a little too far, Jay, but thank you. Scoot back just a touch. Here we go. So whenever I'm looking for somebody to throw it to, I've got all these hands in my face. Let's try it a different way. Go back to your set. Okay, this is really fun. Just hold that. You don't have to do anything special with it. Okay? All right. You guys set? I didn't hit anybody.
They're going to trip me. I know it.
Yep, see, they tried. I'm not that athletic. All right, so you've got the rope. Make it tight. You've got rope. Make it tight. It needs to go this way. Man, this is, I told you, it was either going to go really well or not. It's hard to do without a basketball floor. So y'all stay with me, okay? Now, Eli, you've got all this rope. That's fine. Here's what I need you to do. Just hang on to that, just like that. Now, why is this so much more fun this way? Because if you move, let's say we go this way. If you move this way, what happens? Jay, you have to move. Okay, and you've got to come, and you've got to come, and then even in the back, oh, now we're looking like a press, okay? So see how that works? So then we go back this way, the ball switches sides, we're coming this way, and what happens to my press? Everybody moves together, something similar to that. You guys give them a hand. They did a great job. So it's really difficult to show you how to do that. But you get the idea. When one moves, what happens? They all move, all right? That's a successful start to a press because they have to work together. If one person forgets to do his job, then it's all messed up and blown from the get-go. And that's all it really takes is just one person to mess this up. I was never athletic to be in the front. I was always in the back, being like the sweeper. So I'd catch that long, slow pass from the when they would try to get it to the other basket. Why would I go through all that trouble? Why would I even try to put on a press in the middle of a service? To illustrate to you the fact that these things are not in Scripture by accident, and to illustrate what it looks like to be an exhorter. Why would I say that? For Timothy, in this climate, when Paul says, I charge you with in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, preach the word. For Timothy, there was persecution when he shared the word. There was evil against him when he shared the word. There was false doctrine whenever he shared the word. And this is what he was up against. And so Paul says this. He says, preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove. What does that mean? It means to convince. He says, I want you to convince them. Why is that important? When you are dealing with false doctrine, when you are dealing with evil people, when you are dealing with just a negative moral climate, there's going to be a need for some convincing. How many of you guys in the room, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you have a friend that needs convincing? I hope everybody has at least one. He says, reprove. He says, rebuke. What does that mean? He says, I want you to challenge the moral climate of the day. I want you to challenge them with God's word. Remember, I challenge you to preach the word. I charge you to preach the word. And with that preaching is going to come convincing, and I want you to challenge them. Guys, we don't always go looking for a fight. It's just not how we should be. But when the opportunity comes to share God's truth over something that is false, we should challenge them. When we have an opportunity to speak or teach truth over falsehood and over false doctrines and over things that are immoral, we should take the challenge. And he says, exhort. And see, this is the invitation here. He says, I want you to draw near to them. I want you to invite them in. I want you to walk with them. I want you to mentor them. That is a lost verb in our culture. Mentoring. It is a lost verb in our church. And I hope we can restore that. But you see, to make a difference in the kingdom, Paul could not just say, exhort them. He said, in the climate of the day and what they are up against, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to convince them. You're going to have to challenge them with the word. And you're going to have to walk with them along the way. You see, being an exhorter for Timothy was so much more than just putting a smile on their face. Was so much more than just patting them on the back and saying, good job. But like a full court press, where we are all roped together, each one of these things has to work together for the sake of the kingdom. Yes, they are individual, just like the people in that defense. They are all individuals, but they all work together in harmony to stop what is coming. And Paul says to Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I love the last part of that. With great what? Patience. To be an exhorter takes great patience sometimes. It's easy to encourage somebody, and in the definition of the word, to say, hey, thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm glad that you got, you know, so dressed up, and I'm glad that you are here. Encouraging. Thank you for putting a smile on my face. That's encouragement. But to be an exhorter is to say, I'm going to take that and I'm going to leave and I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to challenge you along the way. I'm going to convince you along the way. I'm going to be with you at every step. When I think of an encourager, I think of Barnabas, who was chief encourager to Paul. His name means son of encouragement. Acts chapter 13, we see Barnabas and Paul, and that's how they're listed. And like the back of the ingredients of a can of soup, whatever's listed first is what? The most crucial, or there's the most of that in the can. They were listed in this way, Barnabas and Paul. We have no reason to doubt that at the beginning of Paul's missionary journey, this first missionary journey, he was not the leader. Barnabas was the leader. Barnabas was son of encouragement. Barnabas is an exhorter. And it doesn't take long. By the end of the first missionary journey that Paul is on, you see a switch in how they are listed. You will see Paul and Barnabas. Why? Because now Paul is starting to lead the charge. Paul is starting to do all the things. And we read about all of Paul's journey. And we read about all of the things that are going on. And Barnabas, we really lose track of him along the way. Why? Because Barnabas did what Barnabas was supposed to do. He exhorted, he encouraged, and then he went on to find another person to exhort. Another person to walk with. Another person to go with. Another person to encourage in the Lord and challenge in the Lord. And so we have Barnabas and Paul. And then later in the missionary journey, almost to the end of the first missionary journey, we get Paul and Barnabas. It's interesting. The only person that even seemed to, that we even might consider having cared that they were listed differently was Barnabas' cousin, John Mark. He left. That was one of the possibilities of why he left on their journey, because Barnabas wasn't in control anymore. It's just a thought. Here's the point. Exhorters thrive on this idea. If I am an exhorter, I want you. I want your spiritual growth. I want your spiritual depth. I want your spiritual actions. I want everything about you in your ministry to exceed my own. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to put you on that platform, to put you on that pedestal and say, not because you are so much more important than I am to the kingdom, but because I want you to be better than I am. I want you to grow more. I want you to be able to pray more deeply. I want you to be able to experience God more fully as an exhorter. And I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you do that. I want to show you a video as we wrap this up this morning. I want to show you a video. This was a field day in May of the kids at school. And I'll just let you see what happens.
Go, Kinsley, go, baby. Don't let her catch you. Go, go, go.
If you can't tell, that was my daughter in the blue pants. And I get this idea when I think of exhorting. Did you see, okay, all of the people on the sideline there? Looking at the track. And not everybody in that field knew that that was Kesley. Not everybody in the field knew who was behind her. And yet you can feel this excitement building as the end of the race comes. And I even saw Kesley's teacher get out from the sideline and do what? Come on, Kesley. And you hear me in my crazy voice. Don't let her catch you. I don't know what that even means or what the repercussion is if she got caught. Go, go, go. Exhorters root for people. Exhorters encourage with everything that they've got so that people become more for the kingdom. And sometimes that takes convincing, sometimes that takes challenging, and sometimes that takes walking with someone. And an exhorter, it doesn't matter if what they're doing makes them feel good. It doesn't matter to them. Because it's not about them. It is about the other person being put in a position where they can serve more fully for the kingdom. And sometimes for that other person, it's going to hurt. It might be like sanding off the rough edges of a piece of wood. It might be painful sometimes for the other person. It might not even help the encourager feel encouraged. But that's where we find our joy as exhorters. Is encouraging those people along and putting them in a position where they can become more for the kingdom. We need encouragers to be using their spiritual gift of exhorting. Will you do that today if you're one of those? This morning as we finish our service, I'm going to pray and I'm going to open this altar up. You can come and you can pray. You can come talk to me. Maybe there's somebody in the room that needs exhorting. If you're an exhorter, you go and you encourage. You start that journey and you walk with somebody. You root for them. go, 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 and don't get caught from behind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us another opportunity to look at your word. Father, to take a good look at this word that means to invite and to draw near. Father, as exhorters, would we be able to draw people near to us so that we might encourage them in their walk, so that we might put them in a position in their ministry so that they may succeed beyond our wildest dreams and become everything that you've called them to be and everything that you've hardwired them to be for the kingdom. That's an exhorter. Father, we want to be those people. If that is our gift, we want to use it to its fullness. So God, help us as a body of believers to start the process of exhorting one another. To start the process of walking with and convincing those around us that need convincing, that need challenging. Father, would those conversations happen this week so that the kingdom might benefit? Thank you so much for allowing us an opportunity to look at your word and see what we might do because of what we know. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we finish?